That's not good.
Oh, I don't need this. I'm already late.
Somebody will come. Anybody out there?
Do you have a phone?
No. Sorry. Somebody! Hello? There are two people stuck on an escalator and we need help. Now, would somebody please do something?
Help! Help!
I don't believe this. You gotta be kidding me.
I'm gonna cry.
Well, there's not enough left to do, is there?
Hello? Hey, don't worry about it. I'll fix it in a second.
He said he can fix it. All right. All right. That's more like it. He says he can fix it.
Now, there's a point to that video, and that is we do not want to miss the obvious. Amen? We need to have a keen eye for the obvious things that Scripture teaches us, that Jesus teaches us. And so this morning, I want to talk about fasting. Now, when I say the word fast, what comes to your mind? What do you think of? So, I mean, probably somebody's thinking like Ferrari fast, right? Some people might see an Olympic sprinter going, tearing up the track, you know. Other might think, I don't know, maybe a pitcher's arm throwing a softball or a baseball 100 plus miles per hour, right? That's fast. Sport fast, Ferrari fast. But rarely in my experience, when the word fast comes to mind, do we see a Christian on bended knee on the screen of our mind's eye, a Christian abstaining from something like, I don't know, television, food. You can tell that I haven't done much of that. Yeah, right? And so you might think, are you serious, Scott? Fasting from food? Yeah. And the person who needs to hear this message more than any of you is the guy who's preaching it. But I'm going to go on record this morning. I'm going to start with this question. Is the Christian faith important enough to us to, I don't know, set aside some pleasure? Perhaps set aside a meal, right? Food's on our minds because food feeds my flesh, and I love my flesh, right? Food has to do with my mood. Yeah, if I like my food, I'm in a good mood, and if I don't like my food, I'm in a bad mood, especially if I paid for it. Yeah. You know, the high point in our day sometimes becomes looking forward to lunch or to dinner, whatever. Am I right? And especially on Sundays. I know some of you right now may be thinking about the ham or the roast that you put on or the restaurant you plan on beating the Baptists to if the fat guy doesn't go too long in the pulpit. All right? Meals are on our mind all the time. We tend to plan our day and our lives around them. Yet, there needs to be in my life and in all of our lives a balanced reflection of what we see in God's Word. Think through the Hebrew heroes, if you will, the mighty men and women of God who made a difference in their time, making an impact on their society and their day. They all fasted. Yeah, I checked. Listen to at least part of the list. It includes Moses, David, Ahaz, Paul, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I just like saying those three guys, but they did fast. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Esther, Elijah. Oh, most notable on the list is Jesus, the Son of God, who fasted for 40 days before he began his public ministry. I mean, if all of these people, if Jesus, the Son of God, felt that it was important to fast, I mean, shouldn't I? Shouldn't we? Do you remember when Jesus sent his disciples out and said, go change the world, and he told them to cast out demons and heal people, and they went out, and when they came back to Jesus, they said, some of these people we couldn't heal. Some of these people we couldn't cast the demons out of them. And Jesus said this, oh, well, some of the time it requires praying and fasting. Yeah. You know, we are at a challenging point in the history of this church. Can I get an amen? Maybe we got to try something different. Yeah, I don't know. Because if we take a look at this scripture this morning here, we're going to find out that Jesus didn't say if we fast, but rather he says when you fast. You do it this way. So, fasting is spiritually expected by God. Yeah. But it needs to be spirit-directed. In Luke chapter 4, we read, then Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, was led into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing. And afterwards, when those days had ended, he was hungry. Yeah, I imagine so. 40 days with no food. It's got to be starving. But because the Holy Spirit had led him there, the Spirit had been sufficiently strengthening him, sustaining him through those days. Because Jesus said that his meat was to do the will of the Father. Yeah. Folks, I can't underscore this enough. If we're going to allow fasting to be put in place in our lives, it's got to be spirit-directed. It just has to be. Because it is spiritually expected. That's what Jesus said. He says, when you fast, the Spirit has to lead it, though. Now, whoever came up with the term fast must have been half asleep. Because when you're on a fast, time sure goes slow. Yeah, unless it's directed by the Holy Spirit. I remember when I went on my first fast, I had fasted for maybe a meal or something like that before, but I mean, this was my first fast. A guy by the name of Duke Browning told me that it was spiritually expected for me to fast, and so I decided, I'm giving it all for Jesus. I'm going to go into this week. I'm not going to eat a drop of food for a whole week, and I was resolute. Now, he had given me some good advice. He gave it to the whole congregation. He goes, make sure you drink plenty of fluids if you're going to do this, but make sure that you just stay with your eyes fixed on Jesus. Yeah. Well, so it was key that my pastor had said that I should do this. And he said, don't abstain from liquids, just foods. And so I cruised into Sunday afternoon, and I was ready to go. I was going to give it all for Jesus all week long, right? And by Wednesday, I found myself totally focused on how I might be able to sneak some food and not have anyone know that I really wasn't spiritual enough, you know, to make it for a week. So I went downtown to McDonald's, went back home, I got our blender out, and I decided to see if I could blend a Big Mac. Because that would be liquids, right? Now, when you fasted a few days, food takes on a whole new meaning. That first morning when you drive past Denny's, for the first time in your life, you really want to know what is Big Slam about, or the Grand Slam that they've got in the windows there. And boy, the pictures make it look good, right? And then a Mac Attack. Yeah. You know, when you fasted a couple of days, what a Big Mac looks like. It looks like two all-beef patties. Piece of bread between those two patties that you've never noticed before, right? And they dressed it up with a couple of pieces of lettuce, a couple of perfectly placed pickles, and oh my goodness, sesame seeds. I had never tasted sesame before. But when you've been on a fast and you're hungry, all of a sudden, yeah, Big Mac is not just a burger when you're fasting. It's a lust-filled Epicurean delight. But it doesn't blend well. Just in case you are interested, a Big Mac in a blender turns gray. I don't know why. But it looked as gross as it looked. And you know what? That Wednesday, I failed in my spiritual quest to fast for 1 week. And as I struggled to figure out why, it suddenly became clear. Pastor Duke has said to fast because it was spiritually expected, and I jumped right in without thinking about it. And here's the key. Fasting is spiritually expected, but it has to be spirit-directed. You've got to go in the power of the Holy Ghost. Pray first. Be led like Jesus was into that wilderness, into that time of fasting. So from our text this morning, we have to keep this in mind. We don't want to fast in order to impress anyone else. I remember I was in a church down in Cambridge, Ohio, and they had food was on the menu for everything there. On Sunday morning, they had a full-blown breakfast, and every funeral came with a huge funeral dinner, and I'll never forget the day that I walked in there, and I was on a fast. The funeral had come up a bit unexpected, and here I was on a fast, and Dorothy and Isabel had prepared the most luscious-looking meal. I did everything but this. I was like, no, I'm fasting. And you know what? It was over at that point. Why? Because I was trying to impress somebody else instead of being spiritually directed to please God. Yeah. Matthew 6:16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, Scott. For they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head. That's kind of like the equivalent of, I don't know, Grecian formula or something. And that way it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. How many of us want a reward from God, our Father? Can I get an amen on that? Yeah. So let me just give you some five, if you will, scriptural motives for fasting. First of all, your motive should be to hear from God. You fast to hear from God. Acts 13, verse 2 says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So they were fasting to hear from God. Here's another reason. You should fast to intercede for others. Okay? Psalms 35, 13. Yet when they were ill, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting. Yeah, you're allowed to complete my sentences, okay? You should fast also as an act of repentance. Joel 1 says, put on sackcloth, O priests, and mourn. Wail, you who minister before the altar, come, spend the night in sackcloth, you who minister before my God, for the grain offerings and drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God. Declare a what? A holy fast. Yeah. Declare a holy fast, a sacred assembly. Summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. That's what we need to do as a congregation. We should also fast for strength and direction. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and it says, with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. Yeah. We should also fast as an act of worship. Luke chapter 2, verse 37, there was a prophetess named Anna, very old. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. The child, of course, being Jesus, our Christ. So, I decided I'm going to challenge myself and I'm going to invite you to be challenged as well. Pray about whether God would have you fast for the days that lie ahead of us here at his church here at Westbrook Park. I would make that maybe God will use something through this fast to speak to us, to give us a clear sense of direction. We need that, don't we? This is a good place to say amen. Okay, good. All right, so we got to be realistic, okay? We can't expect to run a marathon the first time you go down the path, right? So perhaps start with a 24-hour fast, and from what, you might ask? Because it doesn't have to be food. Whatever God leads you to fast from, to remove from your life for a day or 2 days or whatever he's directing you to do. Yeah. If it's food, make sure that you drink lots of liquids, and blended Big Macs are right out. Don't even go there. All right? Maybe it'll be a meal. Maybe fasting from lunchtime, you know, for the next week. I don't know what it's going to be. Some people are going to fast from, I don't know, video games or TV or whatever. But I want you to expect results when you fast. Because it is spiritually expected, but it has to be spiritually directed. So you do it as the Spirit leads you, not because some pastor said to do it. Do it because you heard the word of God and you want to respond to it. And expect results. Matthew 6:18, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I mean, that's Jesus talking. He says it's coming. The reward is on its way as we go forward in obedience. Yeah. The purpose of fasting is not to manipulate God into doing our will, but rather to connect with him on a deeper level so that we are busy minding his business and doing his will. Yeah. Because when we fast, we demonstrate our faith and our commitment to him and him alone. Yeah. And God has promised he'll reward us. So, let me just close by saying this. If you're going to fast from anything, I don't care what it is, expect temptation. All right? Jesus was tempted in his wilderness, and likewise, you can expect that you too will be tempted. So expect the enemy of your soul to try and trip you up. Go in prepared. Yeah. I remember a few years ago, I decided to talk about this whole subject of fasting. And it seemed like pretty good timing because we're going into Lent and all that. And so fasting is something that kind of goes hand in hand with Lent. And so what I didn't know is that a plan had been put into motion some months before. All the little girls who were in the Girl Scouts would come to the church with their little sheets saying, hey, you want to buy some Girl Scout cookies, right? But then they don't show up for a couple of months. So within the hour of making the decision to preach about fasting, one of the dads walked in with all the sheets spelled out that I'd signed away my wife's paycheck for and announced that my Girl Scout cookies had come in. I just started laughing. I told the Lord, yeah, I can and I should expect temptation. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? Amen. So we can have victory in Jesus. That's a fact. So if you're able, please stand. We're going to sing Victory in Jesus as we conclude our time in worship this morning.